Hi, this is Barry Martin Snyder at LuminousSelf.com. The audio you're about to listen to that Karen Anderson, my partner, and I produced is really a summation of what we've come to understand in our own journey about what might be really helpful in terms of preparing for the coronavirus. After going back and listening to what we recorded, I realized that one of the things that needed to be a preamble to this was really discussing that looking at this particular situation can be very unsettling. It was for us, and we went through, you know, a lot of different passages of looking at fear and doubt and all kinds of different things as part of it. And while we're not going to discuss that, look at the spiritual, mental, and emotional issues in these in this recording, I promise you we will in the future. It's important to know that, you know, this may be upsetting to you, and it's okay. Understand it. It's understandable that it is. There's nothing wrong that it is. Because with this, we're probably facing a pandemic, a worldwide pandemic. As a matter of fact, we're probably already in one, and it looks very, very likely that it's coming to the U.S. I mean, no one knows what's going to happen. What we're going to share with you are our intuitions and perceptions in our research. I will say that so far as we've been guided and shown things, it's pretty much unfolded that way. I found that when Karen and I both get the same thing, when we get into alignment, it virtually always the guidance is almost 100% accurate. So that's why we felt it was time to sit down and make this recording. Because we care about you all, and want you to have this information so you can take it into your heart and soul and find out what, if anything, you're to do in the face of what might be coming. We're going to go into preparing for this in this audio. And it's important to point out that we're only going to talk about the physical preparation because that's most immediate right now. But the preparation on a mental, emotional, and spiritual level is every bit as important, and possibly even more important. Actually, it is. Consider that as you're listening to this today, and also that realize when you're preparing that you may also be preparing for others. We live on a farm with five other families, and we've been strongly guided to prepare in certain ways to assist everyone else around us. For instance, we have a colloidal silver maker, and I've been busy preparing gallons of colloidal silver, which is one of the most potent antivirals, so that I can give it to everyone else here on the farm, which we've already begun to do. We also bought far more than was necessary in herbal antibiotics and are stocked up with those, as well as extra rice and beans that we can give to people if they're hungry, and other things that would be really helpful along the lines of medicinals and things of that sort. So just consider all that, too, when you're really, you know, coming to grips with what we know about this virus is a lot less than what's actually going on. China has been very opaque in releasing information. It's now going into other countries where we're beginning to get more good data on what this virus is really about.
It's now picking up in a lot of other countries like Italy, which will probably get some better information. South Korea's having a tremendous outbreak, and now Iran. But still, it's early on the data. What do we know? We know that probably 80% of the cases are simply like getting the flu. It's like what you would normally experience with seasonal flu. But that's where the difference really ends. You know, we expect a little bit of vomiting and maybe some diarrhea or body aches with the flu. But with coronavirus, what's happening is that 15%+ of the people develop into serious pneumonia conditions. And at least 5% wind up in the ICU on intubation and ventilators. And this is really broken the back of the Chinese medical system. And having so many people in ICU for 2 weeks was just more than what they were capable of handling. They erected many emergency hospitals overnight with essentially no medical services. They were just rooms with cots. We know that there's been many people, many reports that this is no different than regular flu in terms of its seriousness. Well, it's 20% more deadly than flu. And if the health system fails, it could be up to 50 times more fatal. We also know that the older you get, the more impact it has. And it also seems pretty clear now that men have a higher risk than women. And maybe the best news of all is that children seem to be the least affected. From what we can ascertain, there are no vaccines available at this time. And from the person who we rely on most, Chris Martinson, who has a PhD in toxicology from Duke, has been on this for a long time. He says it's probably a year to a year and a half away and it's tested. The impact, there's other impacts besides the health impacts and the obvious impacts to our medical system, which if it's like what's happening in China, in South Korea, those have been severe. They've overwhelmed the systems in China. And I don't know where South Korea is yet, but they're probably on the brink, maybe Italy and probably Iran. But there's another impact that's happening right now, and that is the global financial markets are imploding. If you don't believe me, go pull up a chart of the Dow Industrial 500, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and you will see that it dropped from over 29,000 to 25,000 in a matter of days. The chart, I've never seen a chart like that, save maybe for the 87 one-day drop in 1929. The markets are imploding. This is a big issue because the whole global financial system has been overstressed to the max. Corporate, personal, and sovereign or country debts levels are at the highest level in recorded history. When the economy goes to a screeching halt, which it is already starting to do, people will not have the money. Corporations won't be making revenue. Tax revenues will fall. People won't have their jobs or their work. All that debt is going to come to the surface. It's already happening. The other thing that's really important to understand is that the world, the global economic system is all interconnected. No company manufactures their product in total. Say, for instance, iPhones, Apple. Apple does not manufacture an iPhone. They assemble an iPhone. And they put that together from parts that maybe they may have 200 suppliers that are all over the world that supply them chips and polymers and circuit boards and all kinds of things that go into that phone. The world is so interconnected that once something happens in the supply chain, it echoes down through it. In the 2008 crisis, there was a small company in Asia that manufactured polymers that were used to make batteries. When that company crashed, it basically, so many companies that used their own preformed batteries in their products, whether it be cell phones or all kinds of electronics, could all of a sudden get nothing. And they all had to shut down their production on a temporary basis. China is the largest manufacturer of real stuff in the world. The U.S. has a bigger economy, but ours is primarily financial and consumer goods. China produces all the stuff, whether it be textiles, huge in electronics, computers, all that. Something and almost everything you see in your world comes from China. They've been shut down over there for months. And it's starting to come through the supply chain now. And that is probably going to have very big impacts on our life.
For instance, think about drugs and medications, and we're wondering if supplements might be included in this category. A lot of them, or the vast majority of them, come from Wuhan, China. The factories in Wuhan have been shut down for several weeks. Right now, China is pressuring people to go back to work, but we heard one recent report that said in one factory, a third of the workforce did not show up. It wasn't said why. Were they sick? Were they even still in their bodies? Were they refusing to come to work because they were afraid of infection? We don't really know. China isn't really transparent in terms of sharing information about anything that's going on in that society. So we don't know. So what this means is, if there are drugs and medications, and we think too supplements and other kinds of natural remedies that you use regularly, things like vitamins, the vast majority of this stuff is not manufactured in the United States. So start thinking about stockpiling the kinds of things that you depend on for your health to feel like it's in balance and it's going to be strong for you going forward. Think about food, the kinds of food that you and your family eat. It would not be a bad idea to stockpile several months' worth of food. Chris Martinson, whose daily videos we watch, said yesterday he's got a year's worth of food.
It's important to understand why we're saying this, and it's because of precedent. China had to lock down all their major cities. Pictures of places like Wuhan and all these big cities, 10, 11 million people. There's nobody on the street. Everybody was in their homes, okay? And the reason that is, and in the second recording that I'll produce later, I'll go into more of the detail about the nature of this virus, but it is so highly contagious and it has such an incubation period that's so long where it's contagious, people don't know they have it. The only way you can stop the spread of this is mass lockdown quarantines. That's what's happening in South Korea now. It's happened in Vietnam. It's happened in China. It's happening in northern Italy. There's the only way the government can do is say, everybody stop, stay at home, don't go out.
Self-isolate, basically.
Yeah. So it's probably going to happen here. And we don't know for sure, but it's a really, really good likelihood. And I think we're planning on that. And most of the people we know who are on top of this are definitely planning on that.
And so, you know, basically you can think of this two ways. One way is to minimize your chances of coming down with the virus. And so, you know, if you hear that the virus is coming into your community and that information may be harder and harder to come by, you are going to want to go to town the fewest times you can get away with. You're not going to want to be in places with large numbers of people. You're going to want to self-isolate in your home. And therefore, you're going to want to have enough stuff on hand that you can live comfortably for some period of time. This virus is asymptomatic for up to something like 3 or even more than 3 weeks in many cases. So there will be lots and lots of people walking around who don't know they're carrying the virus because they're feeling fine. Or they may have mild sniffles or something that looks like a minor cold, but they are still just as contagious as if they had full-blown coronavirus in all ways, right? In all the different ways it can manifest. So you want to think about minimizing your chances of being impacted by the virus. But realistically, we probably are all going to come into contact with it at some point. So then, a little bit later, we'll talk about ways you can deal with the virus if you begin to show symptoms. But think about this. I read somewhere recently that in the whole United States, there are only 77,000 ICU beds available at any given time. And a lot of those are occupied, right? They're filled with people who have had accidents, who have serious illness, who need the kind of support that only an ICU can provide. They're not going to be kicking out those people to treat coronavirus people. So with only 77,000 ICU beds in the whole U.S., you are not going to want to go into a hospital. And the risk of coming down with either COVID-19 or another virus or another pathogen in the hospital is pretty high. You're a lot more likely to stay healthiest at home.
Let's talk about what we've done. After digesting all this, here's what we came up with. And honestly, Karen and I have both felt something has been coming for some time. And without really thinking about it, we've created a whole room in our house that every time we go to Ashland Place, we buy more stuff because we like a lot of stuff. But it's turned out that we've come up almost about a year's worth of food, and now a year's worth of supplements and things like that that we have. It may be too late for you to get this, and it's important not to go into panic buying and hoarding, because that's not a good thing either. It's to really ground oneself and really get into guidance. Everything we've done has not been in reaction. We have taken all this information in, we've worked through fear, and you're going to be working through fear. You probably might be feeling fear right now. That's normal. Your bottom chakras are being vibrated by this information, as they should be, to get you, to get your attention. But you work through that fear and then sit quietly, and you got to ask, what should we do? And that's what we have done every step of the way. Should we get masks? How many? What supplements we should get? Everything has been directly from our own soul and not from reaction or fear or anything else. And we highly suggest you approach it this way. So what we've done is we mentioned the six months to a year supply of things we really need. And yeah, everybody's going to write their own list, but I mean, it goes down to things like toothpaste and toilet paper and soap and things like that. We wanted to get enough that we wouldn't be a part of the problem when the supplies run out.
And for us, this is a part of our regular life, because usually in any given year, we make a major shop about twice a year, because a lot of the shops that we like to buy food in are 2 hours away. We live far out in the country, and our closest shops don't have everything that we really like, or they don't have it at a price that makes sense for us. So we do tend to stock up anyway. We're kind of in that mentality to begin with. But just start thinking about the things you and your family like to eat. And notice what you could be putting aside, just buying a little bit more every time you go to the food store. Or if you get the guidance, stock up on quite a lot right now while it's still very available.
You're probably going to have trouble getting masks. We found in our little town of Klamath Falls, the masks are sold out. And if you go online, they're exorbitantly expensive. You'll have to make that decision of yourself. But N95 is the classification of the masks, are what are required to block the virus from being inhaled. So if you can get in N95 masks, important. Rubber gloves, great, because this happens by contact. If you touch a surface that has, and by the way, it'll live on non-porous surfaces for as much as 9 days. So, figure where you're out on public. There's a lot of non-porous surfaces everywhere.
And one of the advantages of wearing a mask, even if you're feeling healthy and asymptomatic, is that you will not touch your nose, your mouth, maybe your eyes if you're going to wear goggles. That's one of the main ways that people get infected. They touch something that has the virus on it, and then they touch their face.
The other way is droplets. If somebody obviously sneezes near you and has it within, they say, 2 to 3 meters. I think that's probably good, 6 to 9 feet. If somebody sneezes and you're in that close, that's a problem, It's also clear now that there's aerosol transmission, and that's really problematic, because aerosols means somebody sneezes, but it gets into such fine droplets that it atomizes and is in the air and can go through heating systems. So small contained places, if there's a really big outbreak, are going to be a good place to avoid. It will come in through your nose, through your mouth, and through your eyes. So that's why people are wearing goggles and a mask. So it covers all those orifices.
And the gloves, or using hand sanitizer very, very often, and washing your hands for the proverbial 20 seconds which is like singing the happy birthday song twice. That turns out to be a really long time for most of us. We're not used to spending that long washing our hands. But I noticed the other day after I was in town, I came home and the first thing I did was wash my hands, even though I have no idea if the virus is in our town yet. It felt like a good idea to get into the habit of doing that.
We're going to include three links from the Peak Prosperity website on the three levels of preparation that will have all this and much more that you can. So you don't have to try to take a lot of notes now. You can click those links and really dial into this. As far as prevention goes, colloidal silver is probably the best thing that one can do to keep the virus from getting established in one's body. Colloidal silver is one of the few things that kills viruses on contact. They're using it in China right now to spray it into the air in closed spaces as a virucidal element. So you can take a little bit of colloidal silver when you have to go out, go to town before you go out, and that's your, it's probably your number one thing to do, that and your PPE.
If you're taking colloidal silver over time, if you're taking, say, a tablespoon each day, or you're beginning to want to build up a little bit of that immunity, it's also important to take probiotics, because colloidal silver does have an effect on the friendly bacteria in the colon. So just keep that in balance for yourself, because colon health is super important.
As far as getting back to disinfecting surfaces, it's clear now that dilute amounts of bleach, very dilute bleach, and dilute hydrogen peroxide can be sprayed or wiped on surfaces, and it does kill the virus.
So now, if you're thinking about how do I prepare for a possible exposure, or what do I do if I'm beginning to experience symptoms? So we've done a lot of looking around, a lot of listening to many, many podcasts about all this, and there are loads of different protocols that people are using. You can explore this online and come up with all kinds of possibilities. We'll give you a few that made sense to us that are pretty simple to implement. So the first one is the one Barry mentioned, colloidal or ionic silver. You can take internally, and if symptoms begin to develop, particularly in your lungs, you can use this with a nebulizer. And you can buy a nebulizer online. It's basically something, a machine that you plug in, and it sends out a stream of air with whatever you put, or what, it's air, but it's moist air.
It atomizes the colloidal silver into a fine mist, like steam.
Yeah.
And you breathe it right into your lungs. And we've had personal experience with two pneumonia cases that were very severe and deep that just worked like a charm. Nebulizer, colloidal silver, and we used Allicin at the timer, the active ingredient garlic, knocked it out. So highly recommended if it gets to that point.
So you can take the following things to build your immunity, and it's a great idea to start now if you haven't already. Vitamin C, a daily dose. A good way to get this is from something like Ester C, which is available through Vitacost, and we're going to have the link for that down below. This releases over time. Another type of vitamin C that is also very potent and highly absorbable is liposomal vitamin C. You can make it according to online directions, or you can buy it. And we'll, again, have links for this down below. Vitamin D3 is really important to boost immunity. And I just read that up to 5,000 units a day is not a bad way to go. Again, Vitacost sells vitamin C caps, or little caps of it, vitamin D rather, in the 5,000 unit a day amount.
Well, let me be clear that we're not making medical recommendations here or prescribing anything. We're just telling you what we found in our research.
These are things that came up over and over.
Yeah, these are things just for your information, for you to consider. And then it's really for you to sit with yourself, use your own guidance, and find out what's right for you, because it's not one shoe size fits all. And for everybody, it could be a little different. So you're going to really have to trust your guidance.
Magnesium is another important nutrient for immunity. And it's been suggested that 400 milligrams a day is a good amount. Zinc works in sync with vitamin C. The two are synergistic, and they both strengthen immunity, especially when taken together. 20 to 40 milligrams a day suggested for zinc is what I've come across. And selenium is a trace mineral that we don't get very much of in our modern diet. But if you eat 2 Brazil nuts a day, you're probably going to get enough selenium. So 100 micrograms a day probably won't show up in your supplements. But again, 2 Brazil nuts makes it pretty easy. So now, those are things you can be doing up front, and we do these things every day. If you start to show symptoms, and the first symptom is often a fever, a sore throat, aches and pains, the kind of thing that happens with a lot of flus, immediately up the vitamin C to your bowel tolerance. You can take as much vitamin C as you can get into yourself until your bowels start to get too loose, and then you'll know you're at maximum capacity. Start taking garlic, either an odor-free, high-potency garlic, which is available all over the place online, or something like Alibiotic, which Barry mentioned earlier, that has garlic, elderberry, and other things, and acts as a natural antibiotic. That's available at Vitacost as well.
Yeah, it's an antiviral, and just remember, most antibiotics only kill bacteria and things like that. A virus is a different critter. And you need an antiviral. And so you can't just take penicillin or another antibiotic and expect it to do anything. It will help if there's other issues, but not with the virus.
Elderberry syrup is something that's talked about by a lot of people online. And I just recently read from Stephen Booner, who's a master herbalist, that elderberry leaves are even more potent than the berries, which are used to make the syrup. So if you live where elderberries grow, go out and gather some leaves and make some tea. You can read about this online. We'll have a link to Stephen Booner's website below. Boneset tea is something I just recently learned about, or the tincture of boneset will reduce fever. It's one of the best natural ways of doing that. And OSHA root tincture will support the lungs, whether you have the coronavirus or anything else going on with your lungs. OSHA root is likely to make a big difference. So again, Stephen Booner has a protocol for coronavirus that involves many different combinations of herbs. You can check his link below and his Facebook page and find out more about that. There are loads of different ideas out there on how to deal with this naturally. And just poke around, follow your own guidance, use what you've learned over, you know, your lifetime. And support your health the best way you know how.
All the links below, we highly suggest, we would really suggest that you look at Chris Martinson of Peak Prosperity, his YouTube page. There's just so much there. Every day he puts out about a 30-minute update on what's going on.
This is the most comprehensive info we found, and he doesn't have any particular slant. There are other people putting stuff out that, you know, you have to really wade through the political diatribes or the very obvious slant in the information. But Chris feels pretty clean, and he's very straightforward, and he spends hours a day researching what's happening all over the world.
He's also a PhD in toxicology from Duke University, so he knows this field very, very well. And he's one of the best futurists we've ever come across. He understands the whole global matrix of the environment, energy, economics, everything. He has a real good feel for all of it. So, and another one that we follow all regularly is Zero Hedge, which is really more of an economic financial thing, but they've done an incredibly good job of following coronavirus and getting to some of the deeper facts here. At Epoch Times, is another one you can try. Again, links below. It's another really good source of information.
So that's kind of it for what we have right now. We will devote another recording soon to talking about how you can work with this on emotional and mental and spiritual levels.
And I will do something next day or so that'll come out with this about sort of more of the background about this, how it came into being. What happened in China. If you're interested in that, then make sure you check out that recording also. So, yeah, that's it for now. Blessings to you all, and just
Just remember, this is just another evolutionary impulse in taking this planet to another level. And, you know, the dance of Kali and Shiva is part of that. With the end of the age, this is what happens. But what's also happening is a collective awakening. And this is going to be part of catalyzing that. It may be hard to see that at the time when there may be so much darkness and distortion surfacing, but the dark, everything must be brought to the surface. Remember what the definition of apocalypse is: bringing to the surface that which has been hidden. So all this stuff has to come up so we can see it, move through it, and go beyond it. So,
yeah, if we can hold the coronavirus as a great evolutionary catalyst, and we can really pray to be able to use the catalyst for our own evolution and to support the evolution and the awakening of everybody in our circle.
Yeah, that's the highest possible way to approach this in our opinion. So, yeah, today, all about the physical, because that's number one. Got to keep your body, you know, healthy and able to function, and you can do your spiritual work. And the physical is very immediate now because of what's happening, so focus on that. And as we promise, we'll come back with other things in the near future.
Love and blessings to everyone.
Yeah, blessings to you all.